Thank you, Sadaka. All right, well, so let's begin. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. Let's pick up today's daf is Samech Tes. A lot to do. So we are picking up Samech Tes 69A. Amar Reb Yitzchak Shamati. So it's two, four, six lines down from the top. Amar Reb Yitzchak Shamati Shtayim. So Reb Yitzchak says, I heard two halachas. So the Gemara says, Achas Kemitza Zar, Achas Malikas Zar. So I learned two halachas. One Reb Yitzchak was about Kemitza, done by a non-Kohen. One was about Malika, done by a non-Kohen. They both say now, in both of these cases, the act was done. And what happened? The halacha is Echa Teret, Ve'echa Lo Teret. So the halacha by one of them is that if you offered it up on the Mizbeach, you have to take it down. But the other one, you don't have to take it down. And what happened? Velo Yidana. But Rabbi Yitzchak says, I don't remember which is which. So I know, most of this happens all the time, right? I know I learned two halachas. One is that both regard an avoda done by a non-Kohen, one kamitza, one malika, one the halacha is neither you should offer up. But one of them, if you did offer up, you don't have to take it down from the mizbeach. And the other one, if you did offer up, you do have to take it down from the mizbeach. And I can't remember which one is which. Amar Chizkiya, so Chizkiya says, I think I know this one. Mistabra, kamitza terid, malika lo terid. It would appear that the halacha is Rabosai, that kamitza offered up by a non-coin, by a zar, even if put on the mizbeach, has to be taken off the mizbeach. Malika lo teret. But halacha lemaisa, if a zar did malika and put it on the mizbeach, it need not be taken off the mizbeach. So maishna malika. So we'll say, why is malika different than if done by a zar, you don't have to take it off the mizbeach? To which the Gemara answers, the yeshna bibama. We'll say, ultimately, again, because there's a concept of malika by a bama. So because again, by a bama, Rabbo said, the halacha is anyone could offer that karban, even a zar. Therefore what? Therefore halacha lemaisa, even if done by a zar in the Beis HaMikdash, although you're not supposed to offer it, if you do offer it, you need not take it down from the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, kamitza nami yeshna bama. But I don't understand, using that logic, but say kamitza also applies by a bummer. As well, say any form of sacrificial service that you find in the Beis HaMikdash was also done by a bummer. So therefore, if you're going to tell me that malika, if a zar does malika and offers it up on the mizbeach, you shouldn't do it ideally, but if you put it on the mizbeach, you don't have to take it off because there's a concept of malika by bama, which means that you already find the concept of a zar doing malika. I can make the same argument by kamitza. Let's say you could also offer up a karban mincha on a bama. Who's offering up the karban mincha on a bama? None other than a zar. So therefore, again, I should say the halacha is that if a zar offers up a kamitza in the Beis HaMikdash, it also lote, you don't have to take it off the mizbeach. To which the Gemara says, v'chiteima ein mincha b'bama. Well, maybe you'll say, you know what, maybe not. I'll say, maybe the halacha is by bamos, that you could do animal karbanos, but maybe you don't do menachos. Maybe the halacha is that you don't do a karban mincha, ultimately by a bama. The Gemara says, ein ofos nami b'bama. So the Gemara says, ein ofos nami b'bama. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then lemaisa, again, if you're not doing a mincha on the bama, then the halacha would be that we would not offer bird offerings on the bama as well. But we'll say, what's the connection between menachos and ofos? The Amar Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes said as follows. L'divrei ha'omer yesh mincha b'bama, yesh ofos b'bama. Rav Sheshes says, we'll say, according to the opinion who says, now we'll say, this is actually very interesting, because this is a machlokes now, not in the Beis HaMikdash, but rather this is a machlokes about the, we'll call it sacrificial scope of a bama. Everyone agrees that we'll call it animal offerings can be offered up on the bama. The shayla we're going to see is what about other types of offering? So Rav Sheshes says, according to the opinion who says that you could offer up a mincha on a bama, yesh ofos bebama. You could also go ahead and do bird offerings on a bama. The divrei haomer ein mincha. The Rav Sheshes, according to the opinion who says that there is no karban mincha on a bama, then what's the halacha? Ein ofos. There are no bird offerings on a bama. So we'll say, so what's the pshat? So it seems to be, if you hold there's a mincha on a bama, then there are ofos on a bama. If you hold there's no mincha on a bama, then no ofos on a bama. What's the connection between minachos and ofos? My taima, the Gemara says, we'll say, because the pasuk says, it's actually very interesting. This is the pasuk, I will say, by Har Sinai. So the pasuk says, Vayishlach es na'arei b'nei Yisrael, Vayalu olos, Vayizbechu zvachim shlomim lahashem parim. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says that ultimately, again, Moshe, this is by Har Sinai, by the Mizbechos, the Bamos, that they set up at the base of Har Sinai. The Torah says that they went ahead and they offered up Zvachim. So the Gemara darshins, Zvachim velo menachos. Zvachim velo ofos. We'll say, what do we dash in from there? Then what can you offer up on Abama? Zvachim. We'll say Zvachim generally refers to what? Animal karbanos. Zvachim velo menachos. You could offer up a zevach, but not a mincha. Zvachim velo ofos. Zvach, right? Animal sacrifices and not birds. Ela'ima. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, rather, what should he have to say? What's the, so we'll say, remember again, let's go back for just a moment. So we begin over here with Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak telling me that what? That I heard two halachas. Both, right, both of them require a zar. One is if a zar goes ahead and does malika. One is if a zar does kamitza. In both of these cases, the zar offers it up on the mizbeach. It shouldn't go on the mizbeach, but it went up on the mizbeach. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, in one of the cases, it has to be taken off the mizbeach. The other case, it doesn't have to be taken off the mizbeach. I don't know which one is which. Chizkiah comes along and says, I'm pretty sure that the halacha is that kamitza has to be taken off the mizbeach, whereas the malika, the mincha ultimately, or I should say, excuse me, the mincha, the bird offering, remains on the mizbeach. What's the distinction? So the Gemara suggests, because halacha lemaisa, mincha, right, excuse me, kamitza, excuse me, mincha was not offered up on the mizbeach, right, was not offered up on a bama, versus malika, ofos, which were offered up ultimately again on the Mizbeach. To which the Gemara says, but one second, that's not necessarily true. We see there's a machlokes ultimately again what was offered up on bamos, and it appears that halacha lemaisa, ofos and menachos are grouped together. So everyone agrees that you could offer up animal sacrifices on the Mizbeach. What's the machlokes of Osai? Do you offer up ofos and menachos? And it appears, at least at first glance, that what? That halacha lemaisa, ofos and menachos are grouped together. If you hold ofos in, then menachos also, or menachos and ofos. If not, if no menachos, then no ofos. Ela'ima, ein kiddush b'kli sharis mincha bebama. Excuse me, let me read that again. Ela'ima, ein kiddush b'kli sharis b'mincha bebama. Rather, Rabosa, what do you have to say? You have to say that a kavah mincha is a little bit different than a bama. In that how? In that in a kavah mincha by a bama, ultimately, again, there was no kiddush b'kli sharis. So under normal circumstances, what happens is the Kohen takes the kmitza. What does he do with the kmitza? He puts it in the kli sharis, in a service utensil. That's where it's sanctified. Then afterwards, it is put on the mizbeach. Was there a karban mincha ultimately again by Obama? So the answer is yes. But halacha lemaisa, it was never put in a kli sharis. It appears instead, it was just put directly on the bama itself. So the Gemara therefore says, herein lies the distinction between malika and kamitza, that kamitza by bama was never put into a kli sharis. So we'll say, so what does this mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the last wide line on top of Rashi. Ein kiddush kli sharis b'mincha b'bama. Hilchach lo yafinon zar b'mikdash le'in kamitza. Mizar bebama, the lo dami hach kmitza lahach kmitza debemikdash hawil bekidsha bekli sharis if sala bizar. So we'll say, listen to this. So the halacha is you can't learn out karban mincha of the beis hamikdash from karban mincha of bama, right? Why not? In other words, we'll say, remember, what are we tempted to say? We're tempted to say is the same way that a zar could do a karban mincha by a bama. He could also do a karban mincha by the Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean he could do a karban mincha by the Beis HaMikdash? Obviously, the chatchila he can't. But what it means is what? That in the event that he did do it, b'di'eved, it would be kasher, and you'd be able to leave it on the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara says, no, you can't compare the karban mincha of a zar by a bama to a karban mincha of a zar by the Beis HaMikdash. Why can't you make that comparison? But it's a very interesting fact. Why not? Because by karban mincha by the Beis HaMikdash, there is the use of a kli sharis. The kmitza is put into the kli sharis, into the service utensil, and then applied to the mizbeach. By the karban mincha in a bama, what's the halacha? The halacha is that the kmitza is put directly onto the mizbeach itself. That's why by a bama, a zar is kasher, but yet you can't necessarily make that same application to the karban mincha performed by a zar in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, I will say this accounts for Chizkiah's distinction. Therefore, Chizkiah says, halacha lemaisa, if a zar did malika, so bidi eved, if the bird was placed on the mizbeach, you could leave it there. Why? What's the logic? Because a zar could do malika by a bama, And that malika is pretty much the same malika by a mizbeach. Yet, again, by kmitza, if the zar did kmitza, put it on the mizbeach, it has to come down. Why? Because even though a zar could technically do kmitza, not technically, even though a zar could do kmitza by a bama, kmitza by a bama looks different than kmitza by the Beis HaMikdash, because kmitza by a bama doesn't have a klisharis, and ultimately, again, kmitza by the Beis HaMikdash does have a klisharis. We'll say, how do we pass kin halacha l'maisa? This actually is a very interesting case, because again, you have a situation of a non-kohen doing avoda. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Rambam paskins, this is in Hilchos, Psuli HaMikdash and Parikim halacha tesvav, of shemalko zar va'ala lo yeret. Now, halacha is we'll say, if a non-kohen, a zar, did malika on the bird, and the bird was put on the mizbeach, you need not take it off the mizbeach. However, lo yer v'kometz mincha should come to zar va'ala yeret. Yet, if a zar did kmitza and put that kmitza on the mizbeach, it has to come off the mizbeach. Ava pi shezeh pasul v'zeh pasul. We'll say, even though again both of them are technically invalid, zeh kilolonis kadesh klal. Ve'echad azar ve'echad shar psulin. So we'll say ultimately again, even though they're both pasul, the comments of mincha is as if it was never mekudesh at all. So we'll say, so you see over here that the Rambam accepts the distinction of chizkia. Therefore, if a non kohen ends up doing malika and the bird gets placed on the mizbeach, you need not take it down. But if a non kohen does kmitza and the kmitza is placed on the mizbeach, ultimately the kmitza must be removed. That is halacha l'maisa. Good. Weiter. Malak b'smal o balayla. So let's remember again, going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah spoke about if a kohen does malika b'smal with his left hand or balayla or at night. So we'll say, what's the halacha? The malika is invalid, but the animal, the bird, does not convey tumah. So in other words, we'll say the malika works in order to go ahead and remove the status of nevela. Even though halacha l'maisa it's not kosher for sacrificial purposes, so turn around. Now we'll say let's learn this. Yachol tehei malika sheilifnim mitama begadim bebeis habliyah. So we'll say I might have thought as follows. I might have thought that if you have an invalid malika that happens inside of the Beis HaMikdash, that it'd be mitama begadim bebeis habliyah. That we'll say that indeed it would convey to him. Remember again, we'll say this is the expression for tumas nevela. The way that nevela of a bird carcass works is that halacha l'maisa it doesn't transmit tumah through touching, but rather it only transmits tumah how? Through ingestion. Only once you swallow it, only once you eat it, does it convey tumah ultimately to the individual and to his clothing. So I might have thought that if there was an invalid malika inside the Beis HaMikdash, mitameh begotten bebeis habliyah, that ultimately, again, it conveys tumah to the person's clothing. Tamud lomar nevela. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says nevela. Okay, so let's analyze this. So we'll say, what does this mean? So if you look, actually not yet in Rashi. Therefore, the pasuk says nevela. It is only a nevela which transmits tumah, not this bird that died through malika, albeit an invalid malika. So Moshe says, I don't understand. Ha nami neveli, but a bird that dies supposed to say, through an improper malika, isn't that nevela? In other words, that's nevela also. Ela tamud lomar trefa. Therefore, you're right, the pasuk says trefa. I don't understand. Ma trefa she'in materes es ha'iser. Af kol she'in materes es ha'iser. We'll say, just like a trefa, ultimately, again, if the animal dies as a trefa, then the halacha is, the death of the animal does not take away the trefa prohibition. So to any time that the death of the animal does not remove the prohibition, ultimately, again, the animal will go ahead and convey tumah. Yatza malika shehilifnim. So we'll say this comes to exclude a case, ultimately, again, of malika done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Hoyo vihi materes es ha'iser in metameis ha'begadim bebeis habliyah. So we'll say, by malika, ultimately, again, that's done inside of the Beis HaMikdash, since it removes the iser, i.e. the animal is no longer an avela, ein metame begadim beis habliyah. Therefore, again, we'll say, the ingestion of the bird will not go ahead and convey tumah. So we'll say, which ultimately, again, is another way of saying that halacha l'maisa, even an invalid malika, so we'll say even though the malika is invalid for sacrificial purposes, it's enough to go ahead and give the animal the designation of being slaughtered. So because it's slaughtered, therefore what? Therefore it does not convey tumas nevela. Okay, so now let's analyze this a little bit more. Hevi Hamole Kodshim Bachutz. So we'll say what happens if ultimately again there are karbanos brought on the outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say again the Molek, the one doing Malika, is bringing Kodshim Bachutz, bringing Kodshim outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Umolek, and he does Malika outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Good morning. So he says, Umolik, Chulin Beim Nidithin Beim Abachutz, or he does Malika on Chulin, whether inside the Beis HaMikdash or outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what's Talocha? Hoil Vein Matirin Esa Isser, Mitamin Begadim Abeis Abliya. So I'll say, interestingly enough, this is the next case. If a person does Malika, right, Kachim Bachutz, a person does Malika on sacrificial items outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or Chulin Mibifnim, unconsecrated animals inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say in this case, the Malika is absolutely meaningless. So in a case where the Malika is meaningless, therefore what? The animal that is now dead has the status of what? Of Nevela, and therefore Halacha Lemaisa does in fact convey Tumah. Tanya Idach, we'll say another Braisa. What's the other Braisa? Yachol Tei Shchitas Chulun Lifnim, V'kodshim Beimim Lifnim, Beimim Rochotz Metama Beis Avliyah. So we'll say, listen to this additional Braisa. I might have thought that if you shecht Chulun inside the Beis HaMikdash, or Kodshim, or you shecht Kodshim Beimim Lifnim, Beimim Rochotz, inside the Beis HaMikdash, or outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so Metama Abeis Avliyah, that the halacha is that the animal would convey Tumah, as a result of being Nevela. Tamalom or Nevela. So the Gemara says, no, it's only if it's Dafka Nevela, meaning that it dies without Shchita or Malika. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hanami Nevela. But is this not a case of also Nevela? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Hanami Nevela hi. Miyemar delav Nevela hi. Hoilu Shchita bifnim ba'of lo shaycha. Well, so remember again, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a case where you're shechting the bird. So we'll say, there's no such thing as Shchita by sacrificial ofos. If that's the case, that there's no such concept of shechita by sacrificial ofos, then what? Then the bird, excuse me, ultimately should be considered an avela, to which the Gemara says, Ela tamud lomer trefa. Rather, you're right, the Gemara says, you have to learn that from the pasuk from the word trefa. I'll say, what does trefa mean? So the Gemara says, ma trefa shava bifnim kibachutz. But I'll say, just like ultimately, again, a trefa is the same inside the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Tamud lomer trefa. So Rashi says, Kilomar Nevela Shihi Ketrefa Metama. It is only in a vela, which is like a trefa, which conveys Tuma. What does it mean in a vela, like a trefa, which conveys Tuma? Sheshavos Bifnim Kibachos. Rashi says, Dekan Vekan Hiyasura. We'll say, just like a trefa is prohibited inside the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash, so too the only type of nevela which conveys Tumah is the type of nevela which is asur inside the Beis HaMikdash and outside, or I should say, has the same status inside the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. Af kol shavos bifnim kibachutz. We'll say this comes to include all cases where the status is the same inside and outside. Yotza shchitas chulin bifnim. V'kodshim mein bibifnim mein bibachutz. We'll say this comes to exclude the case of shchita schulin inside the Beis HaMikdash, or kodshim inside or outside the Beis HaMikdash. Hoil v'lo shavu bifnim kibachutz, eim etam begada Beis HaBliya. So we'll say, remember again, both of these cases of shchita schulin bifnim, we'll say, remember, shchita schulin bifnim is not a shavu case. Why not? Because halacha lemaisa, chulin is going to be permitted outside the Beis HaMikdash, asur inside the Beis HaMikdash. Kodshim Rabosai have different statuses inside and outside the Beis HaMikdash. Because they do not share the same status inside and outside, therefore what? Eim etamen begadam Beis HaBliya. They do not convey Tuma ultimately as Tumas Nevela. So bishlama chulin lo shavu bifnim kibachutz. So I understand in the case of chulin, Rabosai, the halacha is that what? That their chulin is not the same if slaughtered inside and outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ela kodshim idv idv psulininu. I will say, in the case of kodshim, I don't understand. If I'm doing shchita on a bird, then by definition it's pasul no matter what. I will say, it's pasul whether I'm doing it bifnim or bachutz. So the Gemara says, Amarava im ho'ilo lo shchitas chutz lechayvo kares. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, if shchitas chutz ultimately goes ahead and is enough to incur a penalty of kares, lo soya lo letara midei nevela. Is it not enough ultimately again to go ahead and also take away the Tumas Nevela? Ashki Chon Chutz. So we'll say, now I understand that case as it applies to Chutz outside the Beis HaMikdash. Pnim Min Yolam. How do I know that this applies ultimately inside the Beis HaMikdash as well? Because ultimately, again, because we see that the status inside the Beis Hamikdash does not resemble the status outside. Ihaki, if that's the case, as it says the Gemara, Malak Kadshim Bechutz Nami Lo. If that's the case, then if you did Malika on the bird, on the sacrificial bird outside the Beis Hamikdash, it also should not be Metame. Why not? Because we'll say again, the status of it does not inside the Beis Hamikdash is not the same as outside the Beis Hamikdash. But Ashi, Donin Davar Shalom Bechshero, Mi Davar Shalom Bechshero. So we'll say, Rav Sim Bar Ashi says as follows, that the halacha is, if you have a case where the shechita is not matir the item, bein bifnim and bein mi bachutz, then once you see that ultimately again, the item is not tame in one location, then ultimately again, it is not tame in the second location as well. That's what it means. Donin davar shelo bechshero, mi davar shelo bechshero, vein donin davar shelo bechshero, mi davar shebechshero. So again, if we see that a particular shechita does not matter the item, bein mi bifnim, bein mi bachutz, and either bifnim or bachutz, the item is going to be tahor, i.e. it will not convey tuma. Therefore, by definition, we apply that same tuma designation to the other location as well. So the Gemara says, "I v'hatanya minayim liyotze shim ala lo yered." But one second, also getting back to what we said before, how do we know that halacha lemaisa, if something left the confines of the Beis Hamikdash and then came back in and was put on the Mizbeach, that we don't take it back down again? To which the Gemara says, "Minayim liyotze shim." Sorry, let me read that again. "Minayim liyotze shim ala lo yered." So we'll say, how do we know that if something left, yotze means it left the confines of the Beis Hamikdash, therefore should not be offered, but it came back in, and indeed you put it on the Mizbeach, that you don't have to take it back down again? To which the Gemara says, "Shar yotze b'kasher b'bama." We learn it from the fact by bama, the halacha is by bama, even if something was yotze, went out of the confines, even though bama doesn't really have physical confines, nevertheless, if it shouldn't have gone up, we let it stay on there. So the Gemara says, no. Tana azos tarasa ola riba samachle. We'll say that's a different drasha, because that drasha ultimately, again, was learned from what? That drasha was learned from the pasuk of zos tarasa ola. So we'll say, let's just close out this particular sugya. So again, the halacha Rabbosei over here is as follows. So just so we close out this Mishnah before we begin the next. So this is the Rambam in Hilchos Psuli HaMokdashin. And just to close out from the Mishnah, so the way the Rambam paskin was as follows. Perek Zayin, halacha Aleph and halacha Ches. Let me just read to you these two halachos, and then we're going to, Emir Tzashem, move on. So we'll say, listen to this. Kol HaPsulim La'avodah Shemalkum L'Kasam Psulim. We'll say the halacha is, in general, anyone who is pasul for avoda, if he did malika, the malika is pasul. Va'afapi sha'osa of pasul, but we'll say even though again the bird itself is pasul, eina kinevelas ha'of tar l'tuma. So we'll say even though the malika is sacrificially invalid, nevertheless what? The bird is not a nevela. What does it mean if the bird is not a nevela? Therefore what? It doesn't convey tuma. Therefore, v'chein im malak balayla, osha shachat chulin bifnim v'kachim v'chos einam kinevela. So we'll say the halacha ultimately is that if you did these type of items which are essentially an invalid malika, although it is sacrificially invalid, the halacha is that it does not become a nevela. Now there are exceptions to this rule. Malak torim shalegiyaz manon. They will say if let's say you did malika on turtle doves that were not the right age, or b'nei yona sha'avras manon, or on pigeons, right? Or doves, I should say, excuse me, that got too old, they aged out, or v'shivesh gapa, or it had a handy, dried out, withered wing, or it was blind in one eye, missing a leg. So if you did malika rabbi say, on these animals, then what? Then the halacha is it isn't a vela. We'll say, here's the part that I want you to remember. Ze'aklal. Here is the principle. I'm reading the Rambam now. Kol shi psula bakodesh, psula ve'ina nevela. Lo haya psula bakodesh, harezu nevela chol darav. We'll say, see, here we go. What we learn from this Rambam is a very important principle. We'll say, whenever, ultimately, again, the karban ha'of is invalid because of some detail regarding the malika itself. In other words, the animal is totally fine. I just messed up the malika. Then Rabbi will say, even though it is sacrificially invalid, the malika acts as a proper act of slaughter, and therefore, again, the bird will not be in a vela. However, where the problem is not with the malika, but Rabbi will say is with what? Is with the animal itself. The animal itself is compromised. then what? The malika is not only sacrificially invalid, but the malika is totally invalid, and the bird has the status of an avela. So for example, Rabbi Osai, if I go ahead and I do malika with my left hand, or I, a non-kohen, do malika, but the bird is totally fine, the malika is invalid. The karban is invalid, but the karban is considered to be what? Or I should say, the bird is considered to be what? Geshacht, right? It's considered to be shechted, and therefore, again, it's not nevela. As opposed to if I take a bird with one leg, and I'm a kohen, I do malika on it, but say then the issue is not a deficiency in the malika, the issue is deficiency in the bird, and obviously it is sacrificially invalid, because the animal from the beginning was sacrificially invalid, and not only that, but the animal, the bird, is considered to be a nevela, and therefore, again, conveys tumah. Good. Good. But say that's the piece of halacha lamaisi you'll take from this sugya. Weiter, Mishnah. A lot to do. Mishnah, bottom of Samech Tesla and Aleph. Rachatva Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakom Yeh B'dvaro. Malak, B'nim Tzei Shreifa. We'll say what happens in the following case. I do Malika, and it turns out that the animal is a Treifa. So we'll say, so I do Malika on the bird, we open up the bird, and we find that the bird has a punctured lung, or one of the other simanim that makes the animal a treifa. So Moses says, now the shaila is, so obviously, for sacrificial purposes, so the animal is, the bird is invalid. What about for tumah purposes? Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Meir says, the bird does not convey tumah. The bird is not an avela. Amud Beis, Rabbi Huda Omer Metameh. Rabbi Huda says, no, it does convey tumah. I'm Rabbi Meir, Kavachomer. Rabbi Meir says, I'm going to tell you why I hold that it does not convey tumah. Kavachomer. It's a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Im the velas behemah shem tameh b'ma'ago b'ma'asa shchitas k'sheira. So Rabbi Meir says like this. We'll say, when it comes to an avelas behemah, we'll say, what's the avelas behemah? Exactly as it says. An animal, right? An animal that dies. Shem tameh b'ma'ago b'ma'asa. Now, we'll say, with avelas behemah, the interesting part is, the halacha is, it conveys tumah just through contact. If you touch the animal, then by definition, it becomes you become tummy after the animal is dead. And yet, what do we see? Shchitasa metarasa metaheres. So, also, nevertheless, the shchit of the animal causes it to be tar. Trefasa mitum asa. I'm sorry, I just read that wrong. I'm sorry, let me read that again. So, im nevelas behemot shemetama b'maga ubemasa shchitasa metaheres trefasa mitum asa. So we'll say, ultimately, again, so if you have an avelas behema, which conveys tumah through maga and masa, you have to both say, what's the halacha? The halacha is, if you have an animal that is a trefa, which you both say is any animal which what? Any animal which has some type of condition, which is going to cause its imminent demise, however you translate, however you define imminent. And yet, if you go ahead and you shecht that trefa, then I both say, what is the halacha? The halacha is the shechting of that trefa takes away any potential tumas nevela. Then if that's the case, nevela sa'of, she'inu matame b'ma'ago b'masa, then also when it comes to nevela sa'of, which does not convey tumah through maga and masa, through ultimately again touching and carrying, eino din, she'tei shchitaso mitaheres trefaso mitumaso, then certainly again, shchita should be enough to remove it from the category of nevela, which would then prevent it from going ahead and conveying to us. So we'll say, so you hear Rabbi Meir's Kavachomer, it's a good one. Rabbi Meir says that if an animal, which conveys tumah by maga and masa, which seems to tell me that what? That the tumah of an animal is more chomer, yet what? If you shecht the animal, and it turns out to be a trefa, that shchita is enough to remove any possibility of nevela tumah. So certainly by a bird, which does not convey tumah through maga and masa, but instead only conveys tumah ultimately what? Abes habliya, through ingestion, if you go ahead and you shecht it, even if it turns out to be a trefa, it certainly should remove any kind of tumas nevela. To which the Gemara says, Mamatzinu b'shchitas toshim machsharta la'achiva u'metaheres trefasa mitumasa af malikaso. So what's the Gemara says, therefore we're going to compare shchita to malika, just like by shchita, which under normal circumstances permits consumption, but at the same time we'll go ahead and take away tumah in a case of trefa, af malikaso shimachsharta b'achila. So to both say malika, which in general allows a kohen to go ahead and consume the meat of the bird, shimachsharta b'achila, so to get married, it says, just like achila goes ahead and permits consumption, and yet achila on an, excuse me, and shchita on a trefa will go ahead and prevent it from conveying tumas navela through mago maso, so to malika, which permits consumption, should also be enough to remove any possibility of tumah when it turns out that the animal was indeed a treifa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, daya kinevelas behema. So the Gemara says, ultimately Rabbi Yossi says, we're going to limit the comparison that a bird should be like a neves behema. In what sense? Shchitasa matarasa velo melikasa. So Rabbi Yossi says, no. That Rabbi Yossi says, I'm sorry, that's a jump. It's a jump to automatically assume that you could equate malika ultimately with shchita. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, the halacha, that shchita has the ability to be metaher a treifa. Well, so when you say metaher treifa, what that means is that if you ended up shechting an animal which is a treifa, that halacha lemaisa, again, the shchita is enough to remove any status of nevela from the animal and it won't convey tumah. Rabbi Yossi says, that is a din that is limited to animals, does not apply to birds. So we'll say, ultimately, we end up with a fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir, regarding what happens if you do malika on a bird, and it turns out that the bird is a treifa. So already, I know that's what, because it's a treifa, we'll say, what does that tell me? It is sacrificially invalid, that I know. What's my shayla? Does it convey tumah or not? Does the malika, which Rabbi say, and again, I want to point out, this is a case of proper malika, right? There's no psulim. The case over here is a regular kohen, proper malika. The shayla is, what does the status, does its new status of treifa, or its newly found status of treifa, convey tumah or not? Rabbi Meir says, it is not metame. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, it is metame. Rabbi Meir bases his shita, ultimately on what? On the Kal V'Chomer. Now, interestingly enough, the Mishnah does not go ahead and really explain Rabbi Huda's Shita. We'll see in the Gemara. So we'll say, let's go. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir. So I want to just point out. So Gemara says, Rabbi Meir lo darish dayo. Does Rabbi Meir not darish? Does Rabbi Meir not accept the premise of dayo? Then we'll say, now ultimately, again, what the Gemara is pointing out is as follows. The Rabbi Meir made a Kal V'Chomer, and the Kal V'Chomer ultimately is that if shchita of a behema is enough to go ahead, which, so I should say differently, that if behema, which is metame b'mago b'masa, ultimately again it's shchita, even of a treifa, is enough to go ahead and remove its tumah status. So certainly bird, which is not metame b'mago b'masa, but only a beis ablia, so shchita of a treifa should be enough to go ahead and remove its status from being an avela. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says essentially the concept of dayo lavo min adin lios kenidon. We'll say the concept of dayo means that halacha lemaisa, sometimes in making a Kal V'Chomer, the derivative item could be no stronger than the source item itself. Now, when Rabbi Yossi says that, Rabbi Yossi understands that to mean that really you can't learn out oath from behema. Now, if you look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah for just a moment, Rashi says dayo kinevelas behema. The hoil below yalif of ella mi behema letire trefa mitumasa dayo lava min hadin lihios kinidon. They will say at the end of the day, since we're learning out oath from behema for the purpose of being metire trefa, so ultimately again oath could be no stronger than behema. They will say now by behema there is a din of shchita and not a din of malika. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi's logical conclusion is you can't learn out oath from behema because oath is too dissimilar to behema. There's dafka din of shchita and not a din of malika. So we'll say, now the Gemara asks, so does Rabbi Meir not subscribe to this concept of dayo? In other words, we'll say it would appear that if you subscribe to the concept of dayo, we'll say in dayo meaning that what? That if you learn out Kal V'Chomer, the derived item can be no stronger than the source item, it would appear that the logical conclusion you would reach is that, not like Rabbi Meir, namely again, that halacha lemaisa, it could very well be that if you do malika on a bird, which is a treifa, that is just the limutame. So does Rabbi Meir not subscribe to the idea of dayo? Va'dayo derais? We'll say the concept of dayo, in fact, is biblical. Rabbi says, this is amazing. Where do we learn this out? From the Sanya, midin Kal V'Chomer Ketzer. Rabbi says, where biblically do we see the concept of a Kal V'Chomer? Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Vavya Yaro Kirak Befanav. Rabbi says, listen to this. By the episode with Miriam, when Miriam inadvertently spoke negatively about Moshe Rabbeinu, so what happens? So Moshe Rabbeinu davens, Kelma, right? Moshe Rabbeinu davens, and Chodesh Baruch Hu responds, listen, if her father, literally, if her father were to spit in her face, Halotikalim Shivas Yamim. Tisagir Shivas Yamim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, to not punish Miriam at all is not right. If her father were to spit in her face, would she not be embarrassed ultimately again and seclude herself for 7 days? So we'll say, Kavachom l'shchina arba asayom. So we'll say, if for her father, she would go ahead and seclude herself for people for 7 days, then when the Shechina is angry at her, then what? She should go ahead and be distanced and cut off from the camp for how long? 14 days. Yet what? So we'll say, that's the concept of Kavachomer. Ela dayo lava min adin lios kinidon. We'll say, but we learn at the concept of dayo, that the derivative item could be no stronger than the source item. The derivative item over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's displeasure with Miriam. The source item is her father's displeasure with her. And therefore the Kavachomer says, if her father were getting with her for 7 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should get with her for 14 days. But dayo says that what? The derivative can't be any stronger than the source. And therefore Miriam is in seclusion for 7 days. Amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Abin. Rabbi Meir kra ashkach v'darish. In reality, Rabbi Meir found the pasuk and he dashed in the pasuk. What's the pasuk? Rabbi will say, get ready for this. Zos toras ha-behema v'ha-of. So we'll say, so the pasuk says, these are the laws, this is the Torah of the behema and the of. So the Gemara says, v'chi be'eze Torah shafsa behema la-of. Both of the behema. Now, in what way is an of, a bird, comparable to a behema? V'chi be'eze Torah shafsa behema la-of, v'of la-behema. In what way is an oaf comparable to a behema and a behema to an oaf? So watch this. Behema metame b'mago b'masa. Oaf in metame b'mago masa. So we'll say, I'm not exactly clear how they're similar. On one hand, a behema conveys tumah, we'll say, through maga, contact, masa, carrying. A bird does not go ahead and convey tumah through maga and masa, rather only through ingestion. Oaf metame b'gadam b'esabliya. Behema ain metame b'gadam b'esabliya. We'll say, oaf is unique in that what? When you go ahead, if you ingest a nevela sa oaf, then what? It conveys tumah to your person and to your clothing. Yet, interestingly enough, if you touch a nevela's behemah, or if you carry a nevela, what does it convey tumah to? To your body, to your person, but not to your clothing. So, in which way is oaf and behemah comparable? Elomer lecha, ma behemah, dover shemachshira la'achila. Mitar trefasa mitumasa. Right, I will say what it's teaching is as follows. Just like by behema, the very action which normally allows for consumption, i.e. shchita, is the action which prevents tumas nadela from devolving upon an animal, even if the animal was a trefa. Af oath, dover shemach sheba achila, mitar trefasa mitumasa. So trefasa by oath, the very action which normally permits it for consumption. Which I will say by an oaf is what? By an oaf will be malika, metayer trefasa mitumaso. That same malika, if done on the bird, even if the bird itself is a trefa, nevertheless will prevent the animal, the bird carcass, from becoming tamei with tumas navela. So we'll say, so that's Rabbi Meir's drasha. Rabbi Meir sees in the pasuk that the Torah is somehow linking. Unless you behema with oath. I'm not sure exactly what the comparison is. The only possible comparison I will say is in this particular case. Just like by behema, shchita, which ultimately again is the permitter for consumption, ultimately again prevents the animal from contracting tumas nadela, even if the animal is a trefa. So too by oath, malika, which normally permits consumption, will also go ahead and prevent the animal from contracting tumas nadela, even if the animal was already a trefa. Rabbi Huda will say, what's Rabbi Huda's logic? Shabbos, Rabbi Huda says that if you shecht an oaf, if you do malika on an oaf, which is a trefa, you find it to be a trefa, the bird is metame tumas nadela. So what's his drasha? Kra ashkach bedarish. He finds a pasuk and he dashens it as well. What's his pasuk, Rabbi Huda? Nevelu trefa. The pasuk says, the pasuk links together nevela and trefa. V'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utrefa. So what's the pshat? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, trefa lamanamra. So we'll say, why does the pasuk have to say trefa? Im trefa chaya. So we'll say, if it's a trefa that's alive and then dies as a result of its trefa status, then hari nevela amura. Then we'll say that's a nevela. Im trefa in a chaya. And if you say that a trefa doesn't live, and meaning it's dead already, hare bichlal nevela. So what the Gemara is pointing out is something very interesting. Is that halacha lemaisa again, what type of trefa are we talking about? The pashto sabo say the only time you're eating the animal is when it's dead. If it's dead already, then what? Then by definition, it's a trefa. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, trefa chaya, pluk tehi be'ilu trefas, ikal madama trefa chaya, bikal madama ina chaya, trefa chaya va'ad shemesa, Haisa becheskas chaya. Hari nevela amur, Rashi says, bepasa. Kevan shemesa misnaveles bemisasa. So we'll say, if you hold that a treifa is considered to be alive, it's an avela. If you hold the treifa is dead, then it's an avela. In other words, we'll say, at any point in time when you're consuming this animal, by definition, it's already an avela. To which the Gemara says, Ella havi treifa sheshachta shemetama. Rather, we'll say, why does the pasuk add in the word treifa? That word treifa is coming to include, we'll say, which case? A treifa that was shechted. That even if it was shechted while it was a treifa, so it didn't die of its treifa status. It was shechted while it was a treifa. Nevertheless, we'll say the halach is that what? That it goes there and conveys tumah. So we'll say this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that if you shecht an animal, or you shecht a bird, and you find it to be a treifa, the halacha is it conveys tumah. Amri Rav Shizvi, elame ata, dechsiv, vechelev nevela, vechelev treifa. So I'll say, but one second, when the pasuk says, talks about the chelev and avela, chelev of a treifa, hasam nami nema, let's see over there as well, im treifa chaya hare nevela amura, so I'll say, if the treifa is considered to be alive, then the ma'is again, it's alive until it dies, and it's nevela. Im treifa ina chaya, and if you hold that a treifa is not able to live, hare hi bechlam nevela. Ultimately, again, it also has the status of an avela, el lahavi treifa sheshachta shechel batar. So I'll say, what I could say from there as well, it must be coming to include a case, what case of chelev are we talking about? A case where ultimately, again, that if you took an animal that is treifa and you shechted it, that its chelev should be tahar. Mechlal dichitmeah, which also would seem to indicate to me that what? The animal itself is going to be tameh, even though the chelev itself is going to be tahar. V'amrav Yehuda Amarav, that's not necessarily true. V'amrav Masnisa Tana, v'chi yamas mina behema. Miktas peim etame or miktas peim etame. So we'll say yet again. Rabbi, you know what we'll have to do? I'm going too fast now. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up. We'll say again. So we're ending off. Just to understand, we're ending up mid machlokes. Ultimately, again, machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, specifically about the case of a shechita of an animal that turns out to be a treifa. What, or I should say, the malika of a bird that turns out to be a treifa. Rabbi Meir says it does not convey tumah. The malika status removes the nevela status. Seemingly, Rabbi Meir's drasha is that he's learning out from the pasuk which compares what? Which compares behema to an oaf, just like behema is no longer a treifa after it experiences shechita, so to the oaf one says malika is no longer considered to be a treifa, versus Rabbi Yehuda says it is metame. And again, Rabbi Yehuda has his own drasha, ultimately, again, by the extra word treifa, teaching me that even after the bird has been shechted, it still has the status of treifa, it's still therefore still conveys tumah, to be continued in Mir Tzeshem tomorrow.